When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Thaddeus McCotter, my colleague, and we turn to Malcolm Hoenlein for a report on the threat to Israel from outside, but that we begin with Israeli politics. Thaddeus?
Malcolm, there's been finality finally in the Israeli elections. What can you tell us about the new government?
That it's final for today, and it's a very broad coalition from left to right, including an Arab party, for all those who talk about an apartheid state. And it's a broad coalition of 60 votes. It was actually 61, but only 60 of them voted for the government. One of the members of his party, of Bennett's party, did not vote for it. So it was a one vote margin of 60 to 59. And Netanyahu already talks about bringing the government down. But for the time being, they are in power and they have an incentive to stay in power, because if they have to go again to elections, they will all probably be kicked out. So Naftali Bennett of the Yamina, the right party, was sworn in as the prime minister. And Mr. Lapid of the center party was sworn in as an alternate prime minister. And Yesh Atid, which means there is future, party, and it's representative of a broad-based coalition that starts with Meretz of the extreme left all the way to Sarah Bennett of the right. And we'll see whether they're able to function and how they can face some of the very demanding issues that Israel has to see now, post-COVID, post the recent conflict in Gaza, the rebuilding efforts, the Iran issues, and relations with the U.S.
Malcolm, Thaddeus is a recovering politician. You've spoken to the new politicians in Israel, all the parties. You've talked through this.
Right.
What is it that unites them with those 60 votes? Is there something, now that Netanyahu's stepped off the stage, is there another theme that they have, Malcolm?
That was what united them to get to this point, but now what unites them is the ability to stay in power. And they are going to focus on the domestic agenda, which is more of a consensus area. I think they will work on improving U.S.-Israel relations, which are excellent right now and certainly were with President Biden, as with President Trump, reached an apex. And I think that they will focus on that as a foreign policy issue. But most of all, it will be the domestic agenda. They're talking about building in the Arab communities. They're talking about housing, making housing more affordable, all these agendas that we hear elsewhere, the civil agendas. But that will be what will motivate them I think, occupy them for the coming time.
Ahmadinejad is back, Malcolm. And it's when we thought it was safe to go back
into
the
water.
All right, fine. He's back. And he's accusing the head of Iran's counterintelligence with being an Israeli spy. Now, Malcolm, this is a thriller. I'd read chapter two. Can you help us?
Yes, I hope so. We missed Ahmadinejad, and he is now back, even though the officials ruled him out as a candidate for the presidency, which he sought, not more than once, actually. And he claims that the official in charge of countering Israeli spies was himself an agent of Israel, and that is what he attributed Israel's intelligence successes to, infiltration of the Iranian intelligence security services. And he talks about the theft of the nuclear documents, extremely important documents, he said, and in fact was by that attacking the government. How could they drive vans out? What was interesting also is that there was an interview with the outgoing head of the Mossad, Israel's intelligence agency, where he acknowledged that several of the people involved in that action had to be rescued from Iran, that they did not all get out at the same time, and then they had to go back and get him. But one of the things that he points out in this in the interview about what their activities, and it was a pretty bold interview when you consider that usually they're very tight-lipped. He says that they put explosives in the tiles that were sent to the Natanz facility. So when they put the foundation in, they had no idea that they already included an enormous amount of explosives, which were then set off and, as you know, destroyed a great deal of material. He also talked about 20 agents, none of them Israelis, who seized materials from 32 state safes, scanned and transmitted large portions of the documents, and that is how they got the nuclear file on which much of the activities now against Iran are based.
He's running for office again, Malcolm, but not for president. Is that correct? This is confusing. I thought he'd been banned from running for office.
Ahmadinejad is not running right now for anything. He wanted to run for president, but he didn't make the cut. I think he was warned to go home and be quiet, and it went home, but wasn't quiet.
Not quiet at all. Now, one more matter to do with Iran. Weeks ago, you introduced the saga of the Iranian warships, two of them, one a converted oil tanker, the other one a corvette, sailing through the Indian Ocean, around Africa, and in the South Atlantic. The Iranian Navy presentation last week on television, on video, pointed to a dotted line going to the Mediterranean. However, there's also possibility, strategic ambiguity, I believe is the term of art here, that it could bend towards the Caribbean. Do you have any new information for us, Malcolm?
Yes, I think that that was a deceptive move. The clear travel plan seems to be around the southern tip of Africa into the Atlantic, most likely en route to Venezuela and Cuba, perhaps. They have a large amount of what is believed to be gasoline on board, but also weapons. We reported last week about the fast ships that were seen on the deck that were probably being delivered. But first of all, it shows that their capabilities are growing quickly, and despite the economic straits that they are in, and, you know, the terrible price the people are paying, but the military continues to expand. And here you have their largest ship, the Marcon, which we have discussed, and their most capable military vessel, traveling to it's a missile destroyer, going to the Maduro regime. And I saw that Senator Rubio came out very strongly demanding forceful actions. It shows that how much Iran has improved its seafaring capacity. And because it sees itself as a global power, you need to be able to project that power. And I know that Secretary of Defense Austin spoke about it in Congress and said he was deeply concerned about the proliferation of weapons, but any weapons, and talked about that while Iran is not violating international law, because warships can ply international waters, if they try to deliver it, that could be seen as a violation of both sanctions and be actionable.
And right now, Malcolm, there is no confirmation that it is headed for Venezuela waters. That's an assumption. Is that correct?
It is not yet demonstrated where they're going, where they will end up. They may be deterred. I know the Biden administration has Venezuela, Cuba, and the other ports not to allow them to dock. We don't know exactly where, but it could be they could go on for weeks like this. And or on the other hand, they may try to pull a fast one, as they often have, quickly unload, either transfer to other ships or unload at a port. And we know that some of the ports have been preparing to welcome the ships.
President Biden is in Brussels to meet with his NATO allies. Thaddeus, you have a question.
Yes, Malcolm, Biden, Erdogan, what can you tell us?
Well, it should be very interesting. It's going on now, and we haven't got the reports yet on what happened. But as you know, the relationship has been very strained. Biden has met with him many times in the past. I, in fact, met him when he was vice president. I met with Vice President Biden just after he returned and described his visit very colorfully with Erdogan, whom he thought he was very ill at the time. That was a widespread belief. But he's been, you know, his relationships have deteriorated with the administration, with others. And one of the things that we see coming up is the purchase, the Turkey looking to buy increased weapons from Russia, which obviously puts him in bad standing with the NATO, its NATO allies. They want more economic relations and relief from the United States. They want sanctions relief. They're very angry that Biden use the Armenian genocide term, something they don't like, and also the U.S. support for Kurds in Syria. So there are many issues on the agenda, and everybody sees that Turkey is almost paralleling Russia in its support for aggression in the region and beyond, and asserting itself in an ever-increasing arc of influence.
Malcolm, before we move to Russia, because you name-dropped Russia a couple of times there, it was very tempting, Malcolm. The Obama administration had a lengthy conversation with Mr. Erdogan in Turkey during all 8 years. Was Mr. Biden part of that conversation? Because Erdogan, as I recall your reporting, was seen as a road ahead for Mr. Obama when he took office.
When he took office, he, like President Trump, by the way, in the initial year, and President Obama for a year and a half or more, he was the foreign leader they most often spoke to. And it was almost inexplicable, but he has a charm, and he was able, you know, he's an important NATO ally, even though his capacity has been greatly shrunk because of all the people he arrested and put in jail, the pilots and et cetera, and his very aggressive behavior throughout the Caucasus and in the region, and his involvements in Libya, Syria, the Gulf, everywhere. So I think the Vice President Biden, then Vice President Biden, was not involved in those discussions with President Obama and Erdogan.
Russia. Mr. Biden, when Vice President, met Mr. Putin when Premier, Prime Minister, in 2011. We're now anticipating a meeting between the two presidents in Geneva, Switzerland, and a chateau above Lake Geneva. What is your expectation, Malcolm? And it's important here to mention, before we get to your expectation, that there is a report that Russia is looking to sell a spy satellite to Iran, this right before the conference. So does this in some fashion darken the prospects?
It certainly colors it and may darken it very much, because this is not just another satellite system. This is an advanced spy satellite that will enable Tehran to survey military targets, both American troops in Iraq, Israeli troops. They will be able to watch because it has a very high-resolution camera that would increase its spying capabilities and allow continuous monitoring of the Persian Gulf oil refineries, Israeli bases, Iraqi barracks where U.S. troops are housed. So this is really a very significant sale if it goes on. We know that IRGC, the Iran Revolutionary Guard, made multiple trips to Russia in the last 3 years to negotiate the agreement. Russian experts were in Iran earlier this year to train ground crews. And this will update the target bank within a few hours every day that it's operative. It's interesting that Putin today issued a statement denying that Russia is preparing to give Iran advanced satellite system. Yet the facts on the ground seem to belie it. So that is one of the key issues that I hope will come up in these discussion. Look, there's a big array of concerns, including about Russia's aggressive behavior and Iran, their involvement in Iran, the Gulf, the pipelines. There's so many issues that are on the agenda between Russia and the United States. But I hope this is something that the president can clarify, and if there is veracity to it, try to get it to stop.
Malcolm, you've met Mr. Putin more than once over the years. He's a very cagey player, correct? This is a sharp...
He's a very KGB player.
Yes, KGB. Very well done, Malcolm. I'm trying to say that he's a man who says one thing and does another. Is that correct?
He is very shrewd. I respect his intelligence and his shrewdness. And he sets his goals and he achieves them, and he doesn't care. You know, when you realize that Russia today has an economy the size of Italy and without oil the size of Holland, and yet it is able to play the master role on the international scene and take the Crimea and do other things and go unchallenged. So we'll have to see whether the President Biden can really put the markers down, make it clear where we stand. On the one hand, work with Russia if they are willing to comply. On the other hand, be able to challenge it. That's one of the issues we'll come up with. Turkey is they want to build an alternative to the Dardanelles, which Russia could see as a potential threat. So this is, there are so many issues
right
that are being eclipsed.
Malcolm Hoenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness. We're off to find the dusty one, Indiana Hoenlein himself. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.